Hey, it's Nerdist Podcast number 278. Finally, a hostful episode. I know. How come there's not more hostful episodes, Chris Hardwick? I have to say your last name, too. Scheduling. It's just been scheduling. We've had so many amazing podcasts lately that we just haven't all been able to get together alone like a trio. But it's been worth it because, like today, for instance, we did an insane mega podcast with Eric Idle and Billy Connolly and Eddie Izzard, which will be going up Monday the 12th, I believe. So that's why you're getting some pretty sweet podcasts, but we're still going to sneak some hostfuls in whenever we can, like this one, which I'm very excited about. I'd like to remind you that my Comedy Central special Mandroid airs Saturday, November 10th at 11 p.m., 10 Central. Sorry to keep badgering you about it, but I really want people to watch it. Because that's how comedy shows work. You need people to watch them. And then I'll be going on the road to do a new material that is not on Mandroid, because hopefully you've already seen it, and you'll be mad. And you'll be like, Chris Hardwick, why are you doing material I've already seen? Why would I pay for that if I saw it for virtually free on Comedy Central? And I'm going to be like, person, I don't have an answer for you, and you deserve better. So new material it is. I will be discovering a lot of that. So come out if you're going to be in Nashville at the beginning of December, or Chicago mid-December, or Bloomington, Indiana in January. Just go to Nerdist.com/calendar, and I believe those links are up now, or they will be soon. So that's that business. Also, a new show's premiering soon on the Nerdist channel. Nerd Down in 10 from the Sklar Brothers, coming to the Nerdist channel Wednesday, November 7th. And then I believe the following week, or maybe the week after, Neil Patrick Harris's Dreaming in Puppets. So that'll be coming up pretty soon as well. I've been watching cuts of it, as I do of all the shows, and it's awesome! It's musical, it's puppets, it's Neil, it's special celebrity guests. So that's all at youtube.com/nerdist. Go click subscribe so you don't miss a digital second of it. We have a snazzy new sponsor to Nerdist Industries, Samsung. I know, the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. What is it? Is it a tablet? Is it a smartphone? It's the best of both. It's a smartphone with like a 5.5-inch Super AMOLED screen, which looks amazing. But then there are also some other major capabilities of the Galaxy Note 2. Sharing. There's an S Beam feature. You can actually tap the back of another S Beam and enable the device to share large files in seconds. You've got Share Shot. You can share 8-megapixel pictures taken with the Galaxy with other phones. Up to 200 feet away. So sharing is super simple. There's an S Pen, which is basically kind of makes the device like a virtual notepad, and then you're not just using your finger. You can use it to outline, crop items on screen, previews of emails and links without having to open them, just by hovering the pen above them, and it's also going to find and match images written to keywords. It is a gorgeous phone. It is a robust phone. It is powerful and large, because you like big things, my friend. Yeah, I mean it that way. For a phone, again, 5.5 inches, and it's perfectly shaped for 16:9 aspect ratio for widescreen movies. So the Galaxy Note 2, welcome to the Nerdist universe, Samsung. I sincerely appreciate your sponsorship, and I invite you to test out the Samsung Galaxy Note 2, the Nerdist listeners. All right, here we go. The Nerdist Podcast, episode number 278. It is some hostful goodness. It's good to be back with the lads.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Right. Little fucking allergies right now, man. Killing me every morning. Just massive sneezes.
That's a band you're listening to?
Massive sneezes. Don't be ridiculous, Chris. I'm listening to Bountiful Coughs. But yeah.
I like the first album.
They never had a first album.
They did. It was
called Cough Drop Hand Drop. Yeah. I just knew we were both going.
Yours was Barry Hardwick's.
Didn't have vagina in it.
Not yet.
Oh, fuck.
Board on it.
That should be the second special. Didn't have vagina in it.
I watched Chris Hardwick's special.
You did?
It was very good.
Oh, man.
Comedy Central sent out a press screener.
Oh,
I'm so.
I gotta take a gander. At
well, he had a good warmed up crowd.
Oh, how would they get so warmed up? They felt very
well. They sent this.
The
I think they sent a PA or someone out right before to tell everyone to shut their cell phones
sure
off.
Sure should have.
I know. I'm kind of stressed out about the not stressed, but just
be. It's good.
but just the you know, there's a lot of pressure with these specials because. You know,
pressure for what? For it to do well as far as
yes, of course, because I'm doing a pilot for Comedy Central, and so you know if no one watches the special, I'm sure they're gonna be like, oh,
well, just like it'll put a haze on their thoughts about the pilot.
I mean, how could it not?
No, that's exactly. I mean, Jeff Dunham's special was so huge that they just. You know, they didn't. I don't think he even did a pilot for his show.
Probably should have.
Yeah. But like, it was like he has the highest rated special on Comedy Central of all time.
Guess who doesn't have Jeff Dunham's audience?
I know, but you do have audience that will tune in.
Maybe
they'll tune on. They'll turn their dials. They'll make it so their digital cable box has a dial, and they will tune into it.
Saturday night, November 10th.
Yep,
November 10th.
What time?
I believe it's at 11 p.m.
Oh, that's at the same time as the old Saturday Night Live.
God damn it! No, that's at 11:30.
Same
right?
time as Mad TV, which has been canceled.
God damn it! Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I shot the special so long ago, and I'm going back out on the road soon to cobble together a new hour, which I'm actually very excited about.
Chris Hardwick, road comic.
Well, because when you do your first hour, you just. It's just like, oh, these are a bunch of bits that were born from doing smaller sets that then I pulled together to start doing longer sets.
I've been riding the same 40 minutes for a year. So.
Yeah. And so when you start over after you have, you know, X number of years experience, you kind of get to go, okay, what do I actually want to say as a, you know, like, is there anything I want to say as a whole? So that's sort of.
I'm looking forward to a very personal second special.
Ooh. Hey guys, it's Chris Hardwick. Let's have a chat. I just do the whole thing from a chair, from an easy chair.
Yeah.
An easy chair.
Yeah, not one of them hard chairs.
Nope.
You don't want a stool. That'd be weird.
The easy chair. The easy way.
I don't get that still. What is that? What were they thinking when they...
In Back to the Future.
Do they talk about it on the commentary?
No. And it bothered me.
Do they all crack up like it's some inside joke? The easy way. Jerry.
No, is he being sarcastic?
Yeah. There's two versions of the commentary on the Blu-ray. It's
there's the pre-1985 version.
Nah. Yeah, and the alternate.
And then after Biff got the time machine version.
No, there's the Bob Gale Zemeckis doing a talk at USC, essentially that they just play over the movie.
Oh.
And then the other one is Bob Gale talking. Bob Gale's the writer. And no explanation.
Mm.
So
someday, if we ever get him on.
Let me know.
We'll try to get Bob Zemeckis on at some point.
Bobby Z.
Well,
you guys should do yourselves a
favor. New movie.
The infamous Teddy Z.
Teddy Z.
Remember that sitcom?
No.
John Cryer, I think, was the infamous Teddy Z.
Really?
It was a Fox sitcom. And
when was this?
When their mascot was a fox? Still.
And then Firefox took it.
Oh
no! I don't know.
Star Fox was right before Firefox.
The movie Foxfire is a movie I shouldn't remember.
And Fox.
I don't know. The infamous, I think it was called the infamous Teddy Z. And I think he was like a sort of a Ferris Bueller type as an adult, like a mover and a shaker kind of guy.
What was the Ferris Bueller type show? Because they did
Parker Lewis Can't Lose,
which is funny because that started the same time
but
as the Ferris Bueller
television
show
with Charlie.
At my house, I have the Masters, the Parker Lewis Can't Lose, like DVD Masters from Sony. I have them because my buddy worked for Sony. And
Charlie Schlatter, whose father, George Schlatter, was a big TV producer, played Ferris Bueller in the TV version.
And I remember the first episode was him talking to camera and saying, "This is I'm another Ferris." And then he brings out a cardboard cutout of Ferris Bueller and then cuts it in half with a chainsaw. That was the first episode of the Ferris Bueller.
We really need to let the audience know that this is not their daddy's Ferris Bueller.
That's exactly how George Lazenby opened up on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
There was a really funny tweet. Trevor Moore had a really funny tweet where when Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man was coming out, he's all, this isn't your slightly older brother's Spider-Man. This is a whole new one. Which I saw. I saw that. I finally saw the Amazing Spider-Man.
I haven't seen it yet. I know sounds crazy that I haven't seen it yet.
It's for kids.
Doesn't sound crazy. It's okay. You're an adult with a life.
Yeah. There's so many things.
Why haven't you seen Spider-Man?
God damn it. I'm just now catching up on season 2 of Game of Thrones. Like, that's, I basically have, at night, I have an hour to consume something.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Have there been 2 seasons of Game of Thrones?
See, you're behind too.
Yeah, there have.
Wait, no, I'm caught up. Yeah, no, I'm caught up. Sorry. Okay.
Well, it's just, Jonah almost got real excited they're like have something else to watch.
God damn it. Man, I just, yeah, no, I, because it ends with, oh, I
know. I have a date, yeah!
Spoiler alert.
Doc Brown taking a steam-powered time machine.
I have a couple hours each night to consume something, and it's either a video game, or a movie, or a TV show, and right now I'm working my way through Game of Thrones, because I don't have any days where I can just be like, today I'm just going to catch up on Game of Thrones.
Who does?
Yeah, but it's
people.
Is, well, you know, if you ever stopped for a second and got sick, you would be able to catch up on it because you would have like a day. To
no,
where you could just
I'd
do
flip
so.
Out.
There's somebody like bad cells in Chris going like, well, is he going to get sick or what? We've been waiting forever.
No, it's not going to.
No, he's not moving.
Every cell with fucking bated breath.
No, here's what happens if I get it. If I get a cold, I'll call Alex and be like, okay, I'm going to start a cold podcast. It's all about colds, and we just talk to people who have colds, and famous people have colds.
This is a thing.
What I do is I
turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
Got to keep the lights on. why'd you kick your foot up like that? You accomplished something.
I accomplished silence.
We haven't done a hostful in a while.
I know.
So much to talk about, you guys.
What's happened since?
Let's see.
Jonah, how's the soup?
I left.
What?
I got out, and I feel great.
Has it been that long?
I'm happy.
No, we've talked.
Have you noticed the smiles on my face?
Yeah, you seem happy.
It just feels good. It feels good, and I've kept really busy. Yet I haven't gone to the gym.
Shit. Yeah, and it's been tough for me lately because I've been having like 10, 12 hour days and then traveling. And so it's like when we shot all day yesterday for a thing that people are either going to love or hate. It could be divided.
Well, the video divided amongst itself.
I just can't tell. It's just one of those things where
Beyonce.
Ah, stop summoning Beyonce.
Come on, just Beyonce. Fucking
you, Beyonce.
I do, and it feels fantastic, Chris. Just do the thing and walk away. You're good.
I am Beyonce.
I'm sure it's going to be great. Just make it so it makes you happy.
So we should say Beyonce, and I'll say I am Beyonce.
Yes,
and
that's Beyonce. Our,
Beyonce.
I am Beyonce.
I am Beyonce. That's our, when we need to calm each other down. Yeah, Beyonce.
I am Beyonce.
That's not
but I really anything. Think I think that's important. It's because when I hear you say that kind of stuff, when you're worried, and this happens every time you're about to put out something big that you like worked really hard on, and you get like you're like, oh, I hope people like it, and it makes me feel like you're not going to like it if people don't like it.
Let me
no,
come
it's
at
not
you
that.
With another option. Don't work as hard on it.
Thanks, Homer.
Yeah.
I you know, it's not that I'll like. It's not that I will like it less. It's just that I don't have a good reason.
Think about this. Weezer put out Pinkerton. It's the best album they ever did. They do not like it. They don't like playing it.
Well, I know. And when Bowie put out Let's Dance, he said it was the most unhappy he was because it was his most commercial album. It's not that. I mean, it's just that here's the thing. I have a very freelancer-y mentality. My ability to continue to do, I freelance for the public, basically. Like, I freelance for, you know, because for so long I wasn't really employed a lot by companies. And so for me, it's a survival thing where I go, well, the audience is essentially my boss, which is the relationship that I have established with a lot of the stuff that I've built.
Your boss can be such
so
a
if
dick.
They are unhappy, then that makes it difficult for me to do more things. You know, it's not like, you know, for the longest time, it's not like a company was paying me. They're like, well, shake it off. We'll get them next time. It was just like, oh, shit. My survival depends on whether or not this thing that I'm putting out, you know, like the momentum of my survival driving forward depends on whether or not people watch it or like it or enjoy it or, you know, because it just makes the next thing a little not as hard to try to the next level.
The momentum of just like the springboard of, of success.
Yeah, exactly.
I've gotten real familiar with the block button on Twitter lately. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
You can do anything except hit that button, then you move on to your day.
I get really into that block button when I'm tweeting the debates. Get way into it.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's great.
I never get any bad feedback on the debate.
I did this really, like, just kind of dumb joke about how, like, when Romney says, if I'm president, when I'm president of the United States. And then I said, like, I was like, yeah, Romney's been reading The Secret. Put it on your vision board, bro. And then a guy tweeted, this is why you're the weakest link of the podcast.
Oh, fuck.
And then he just puts hashtag my opinion. And I said, I bet you're a great guy. Hashtag nobody's opinion.
I think he's great.
I only sent out one political, even remotely political tweet. And it was just, during the vice presidential debates. And there was a shot where Paul Ryan, I'll tell you what the tweet was, but it was the two shot of them. It was Paul Ryan and then Biden, and the quote was this: "Is this something you would like to share with the rest of us, amazing Larry?"
Yeah, I remember.
Because in the shot, Paul Ryan looked like Pee-wee, and Biden kind of looked like Amazing Larry,
completely like Amazing
and
Larry.
And so to see the two of them together, and Biden kind of had his eyes down, and so like Paul Ryan was shining, and so. And then the hashtag was like, nonpartisan tweet, don't yell at me.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, come on, Chris. It's the silliest Pee-wee's Big Adventure reference.
I know.
Yeah.
What if the Pee-wee fans got real angry with you?
Yeah.
We do not appreciate this partisan.
But
that's been fun, those debates. I've been enjoying them.
Yeah, it's nice.
I watched the last one, and it was just like they just kept saying the same things to each other. I was like, you agree. Yeah. You guys agree.
You know what you do when someone's interrupting you in a debate? You just go, all right.
Oh, my God. The bad lip syncing.
Oh, that was great.
Bad lip reading.
Yeah.
Bad lip reading of the first debate. Just look up on YouTube, Eye of the Sparrow. It's got like 10 million views already, so you've probably seen it, but it's fucking amazing. It's the bad lip reading,
it's
guys.
It's really good. It's one of the best ones, I think.
Agreed 100%. And I'm like, God damn it, that was a really good idea. It was right there. Creativity, it's just like a big boggle game where all the answers are right there in front of you, and most of the time you're just not seeing them, and someone will go, oh, I see the word toe jam. And you're like, oh, toe jam was there the whole time, and I didn't see it.
So was Earl.
I was wondering how long it would take you to do a toe jam and O reference.
You mean just since we started the podcast?
Yeah.
I've been wondering ever since
30 episodes.
Yeah.
Motherfuck.
We're almost up on a few months. It'll be 3 years.
300! Hold!
We're having a big anniversary show in probably this room. No one's invited.
And you'll get to hear us talk about ourselves all over again.
Just like in the beginning.
I'm hosting Attack again in November.
Oh, good!
Yeah. There was that 1 week they couldn't film.
Attack the show before the show turns into the wealthy gentleman's eyebrow plucking channel.
I would love to host that. I could use a plucking.
Attack of the brows, attack. Threat attack of the brows. We're going to help you with that unibrow.
Have you heard our new theme song yet?
No.
Oh, boy. It's a doozy.
What is it?
It's just this Russian techno music. It sounds like you're about to watch a variety show from Eastern Bloc.
Oh. Yeah, it's
very strange.
Mr. Trollolo?
Not even. It's like newer, but it's just so bizarre. But anyway, looking forward to that.
I am too. I know, but then G4 switching.
Who knows what's going to happen?
I have some ideas.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Let's talk later.
Okay. Let's talk off the microphone, but then cut this part out where I say we talk about the microphone.
I'm going to a screening of Skyfall.
Oh,
fun.
Good, you are going to that.
Yeah, Monday.
Cute.
Skyfall!
It's a good song.
Here comes the sky! Da-da-da-da!
I have not anticipated a movie this much in years. I'm so stoked for this.
Did you guys see Frankenweenie?
Not yet, no.
Holy shit.
I'm another man, and here comes Chicken Little Skyfall. Buck, 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 Skyfall. That's the Adele song, right?
I think so, yeah.
So this is why you don't write for Weird Al.
Sky Lunch. I'm having
Sky Mall.
Sky Mall.
Right in front of you the whole time.
There's the Boggle Game.
There's Toe Jam.
I need this speaker shaped like a garden gnome. Sky Mall. A two-story pet condo.
Whoa. I'm
who can't fucking write now, bitch?
We just got our cat. We just got our cat this cardboard castle.
Oh, I saw
with a scratching post on the top of it. Yeah, you can go inside. It's addicted. It's
man,
great.
You're just fucking living in your cardboard castle.
Cat, hey, man.
Scratching
hey,
away
why don't you come down
time.
From there every once in a while? See how the real people.
Cardboard houses should avoid moisture.
That's who are you, yeah. Mewy and Lannister? Come on, living in a cardboard castle. Come on.
I've been saying King of the Catsle. King of the Catsle.
Oh, God. Which would be a very Catskills joke.
It would be. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Cat it out.
Let's do a show on the Catskills.
Did you guys watch
No one's there. We can do it.
Hey, do yourself a favor. Watch
Frank and Weenie?
Oh, God. So good. It's probably Tim Burton's best movie since Ed Wood.
Does it get you because it's the kind of little Frank and Wiener dog?
Well, it looks a lot like my dog. That didn't help matters. Right when the dog comes on the screen, you just go, oh, fuck, that's going to die. Right away, you watch, you're like, wow, this stop motion animation is pretty good. Oh, fuck, you're going to die.
Don't you fucking die on me, Frank and Weenie. Well, I guess at that point, he's just Weenie.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I really want to see
Sparky's
it.
Sparky's the name
like
of the dog.
The kids that reacted to The Life of Timothy Green.
Oh, and you know, it's a beautiful movie. It's very funny. It's got a great Martin Landau performance. You got voices of Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara. It's a fucking great, great movie.
I'm excited to see it. I've just been traveling every fucking weekend, so all of my like going to a movie theater time
happens on a plane.
I sleep on planes. Yeah. That's when I sleep. But but I saw Cloud Atlas the other night, so my movie time for the week is Cloud Atlas.
I want to go to your house and like your bedroom is just an airplane because you can only sleep on an airplane.
That's like just in a bed that doesn't fully recline all the
his
way.
His bed is like the Coneheads bed. It's just up against the wall and he just kind of leans up against it.
We are from France.
That's why I like, because of like having a busy schedule and it gets tough to go out to a movie theater, that's why I love when movies go on demand.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Save the Date that's coming out on demand that looks great. It's Jeffrey Brown, who's an amazing comic book artist who did books Every Girl's the End of the World to Me, Clumsy, Any Easy Intimacy. And he's the guy that did the, have you seen the little Darth Vader or little Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker book that came out?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just doing fun activities.
Yeah.
He's the guy that did that.
Oh, cool.
But he has like these really personal comic books that are amazing. Jeffrey Brown. But he wrote a movie and starring Lizzie Kaplan and Martin Starr. It's the guy who's the singer from the band from Scott Pilgrim. And it looks fucking incredible. And it's going to be on demand.
Guy. That guy's good.
Save the date.
Save the date. It looks fucking great.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for that movie.
Hey, congratulations on Jonah Radio.
Thank you.
I never thought that would happen.
Well, I told you if I had time to do it, I would do it.
You really did. You jumped right on it.
Yeah.
Job, I thought he would do it.
A lot of good comments on Jonah Radio, too.
People seem to like it. I really appreciate it. It's been fun. We just did another one last night with Steve Agee.
Oh.
He played a lot of the battle music between him and Matt Berry, which was fun.
Oh, cool.
We got to hear him talk about that. Yeah, it's been fun. And like bands have been sending me some really good stuff. Lacking on the hip hop though. Haven't gotten much hip hop.
I feel like that's not the audience that you reach.
Necessarily.
What are you trying to say?
I think if you look just slightly under the surface, if you peek under the covers of that comment, I think you'll see.
If you just bing it, you'll know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, Jonah Bing, Jonah Boom.
We finally found a nickname.
What are you talking about? The Jonah.
Now he's backpedaling to the other one.
No, I'm not backpedaling. I just think they're both great nicknames. Jeremy Gunnabum, that's just too close to Myra Bowie. God.
If you delete your Twitter account again, I need to get a new name.
Oh, okay.
Big Jonah Boom.
Good. You know, the Jonah Radio has a Twitter account. It's at sure Jonah does. Radio. At
Jonah Radiohead.
But there's also, you know, we got a... We got some good stuff. So if people want to email me some links, I've changed my mind on the physical on the physical submissions because it's taking up space.
Sure.
Where
do they email you?
Jonah Radio. JonahRadio at gmail.com.
RayDio.
Yes.
Jonah Radio.
Under your behest, you...
I think it had to be. By the way, I know you don't talk a lot about the Bing ads, but I think they're great.
Thanks.
I really do think they're great. They're fun. You're obviously like riffing all of it and fucking around with people. And I think that's, I really like them a lot. Thanks. I really, really do. And if I didn't, I just wouldn't bring it up.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I just shot another one last week in downtown LA. And that one, I just saw a cut of it. It looks pretty good.
That's great.
Yeah, it's nice.
Those are fun because those were just supposed to be for the web only. And then all of a sudden, like, it went from web only to, like, it's on every fucking channel.
Yeah, that's
on every show. Like,
I don't ever see it. I don't watch Hulu, and I guess I don't watch any of the programs it's on. But you said it was on during Black Dynamite.
I was watching Black Dynamite on Adult Swim, and it ran.
Black Dynamite news.
Sequel
in the works.
What? Yeah.
Sequel in the works.
We got to have Scott Sanders back on.
We got to put ourselves in that fucking movie is what we got to do.
Do you need three white guys?
It's going to be a Western, Chris. It's going to be a Western, and we're white, and we can be in it.
Oh, my God.
We're white, Chris. We can be in this Western.
We're white, just like your audience.
Yes, exactly. No hip-hop allowed.
I'm sorry. Did that came out wrong.
I'll play the guy that kills the horse by getting on it.
He says it so we don't have to. Middle school defense.
My jingle that plays in my head.
Yeah. You show up to school. Aren't I a fat piece of shit? Everyone's like, yeah, I guess
we're
so.
We
like you as a person.
Yeah. Oh, you fat person.
Middle school. Yeah.
It's just that middle school.
You'd like me for what's on the inside if you could get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really would like that Matt guy, but he just has such horrible self-worth.
Maybe we should all hate him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to bad, because I really liked him. He's a smart guy.
Right. Hey, he fucking started it. Hey, fatty.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. Why would he say that if he didn't want it?
Perpetuate.
You guys got what I was trying to do confused.
I got to email Scott Sanders about Black Dynamite 2.
Yeah, that'll be great. I cannot wait.
I'm so excited.
Don't
radio.
We've got to have you on.
Sure.
Usually do it Tuesday nights. Keep that in mind.
Oh, I don't know if I can.
Music that you probably listened to.
I don't say.
Yeah, I can't play that stuff. But I like, what I like
is. Have you heard of the Thompson Twins?
With the first episode, we had Greg Heller on, who is a guy that was in music and then got into comedy writing. And then we had Steve Agee, who had a background in music and now is a comedian. And, you kind of just did both.
I worked in radio.
You worked in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it should be fun.
But I worked in very stringent, heavily programmed radio.
Yeah.
I didn't work in any radio where you could like bring in music to play.
Or your own ideas.
Nope.
Or your ideas.
I got sound checked every time.
What does that mean?
Sound checked is basically all of your breaks.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't working in radio before. The reason that I started working in radio is that when Singled Out was about to premiere, that was a show on in the 1900s, we went on Kevin and Bean's morning show, Jenny and I, they just offered me a job. Like, we were fucking around, or I don't know what happened, but they, during the show, the producer, Frank Murphy, came in and said, Kevin Weatherly is on the phone, the program director, and he wants to know if you want a job.
That's so crazy.
And I was like, what? And so that was a Friday, and I started Sunday night.
So you were like the Matt Meyer of your time.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
No. I still went on the radio show to earn it. No, but I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding, Matt. You're the best. I love you so much. I do. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Guys, aren't I still fat?
No. But yeah, that basically just like, if I had set out to work in radio, I never would have gotten a job in radio.
Yeah.
It was just a weird accident. And so because I had no experience in radio, Kevin air checked me for like a year, where basically every break,
you know, whenever the on air button would go on the board, this machine would start recording. And so he had all of my breaks, and I would have to go in like the next day and sit with him, and he'd listen. And to his credit, he really did. I had no idea what I was doing, and he really taught me like how to tighten stuff up. And
this is Kevin from Kevin and Bean?
No, Kevin Weatherly, who's the program director, who is probably still there. But yeah. Kevin Weatherly was the guy that like most music in the like the
he probably like, is still there because they're still playing that music.
They're still playing like he, you know, most of the bands that broke in the mid 90s.
Oh yeah, you've talked about him before.
Came out of
Came
out of K Rock.
I sent the first episode of Generator to Perry Michael Simon, who's the head writer at the Nerdist
website. He's our editor, yeah. Who edit, and then I worked with him at another radio station.
Yeah, and that's so I sent him wanting to know, because he's like a pretty, you know, he's been in radio for a really long time.
And he's a super smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. But he gave me some great notes, and I really appreciate it. He's such a like funny, smart guy. I love his writing, too.
Yeah, the Nerdist website is really, he pilots that himself.
Yeah, he's kind of the voice of it.
Kind of. I would say he's largely the voice of it now.
Yeah.
He does a really great job.
Yeah.
He does a really great job. But radio is, it was fun. That whole time was really fun because it was a time when, you know, it meant going to like the Acoustic Christmas show or the Weenie Roast and like having the God Pass where you could just fucking go anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, like meet bands that you loved and do on stages for bands that you liked. You know, like it was a really fun time.
That's awesome.
Who was the least nice?
The least
that you wanted to meet and then you met them and you were very disappointed.
Radiohead.
Tom York.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this was like 95 or 96. Uh-huh. And I don't know. Maybe they were having a bad night, but he was. And like, if I met him now, I mean, it's not like I'm still carrying around the fuck that guy. Yeah, you know, it happened 16 years ago. I don't really.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to. I came in and I came backstage and they were like, hey, do you want to interview Radiohead? And I was like, sure. And, you know, I think the Benz, it was like around the Benz time, I think, but pre OK Computer. And
OK Computer is a different band.
What?
It's just a different band.
Totally different band at that point. Yeah. So it was, it was post Creep, but I think Benz and
that's Karma Police was the single off of that. Right?
Karma Police. Yeah. Karma Police was single off OK Computer.
Karma Police.
So OK Computer was like 97. Yeah, 97. So it was just around. It was just. I think it was like 96 was the year that this happened. So it was right before OK Computer. And I came in and they were all sitting there and I don't know what he got upset about, but he just stood up and went, this interview's over, and like stormed out.
Did he flip a table?
Did not flip a table.
See, then
he's
doesn't,
very slight of build. So.
Then it doesn't matter because you can't say this interview is over without flipping the table you're sitting in front of. It just doesn't work. It's like incompleting a sentence.
It didn't work. So I ran into him later on that night at the party and I was like, and I tried to bond with him. I was like, oh, I don't know what happened, but I'm so sorry. And I, you know, if someone bummed you out, I apologize. And he just sort of shook his head. Like, clearly I was a part of whatever it was.
The machine.
I was a part of the machine. And he was not happy about something.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if he wanted to apologize to me now, after all of the money I've spent on their albums and the bluegrass medley of his songs that he wrote called Rodeohead.
How much did you pay for the computer? The album, you could name your own price.
I paid $10. That was in Rainbows. Yeah. I paid $10 for it. Because then you're like, oh, it's just, you know, that's what I would pay.
Yeah.
I thought $10 was a fair price. Yeah, so if Tom York wants to apologize to me, he's more than welcome to settle the score after all these years. I'm sure it would help.
Or if he wants to go and buy a shirt that says overrated Dio head, he can go to bluecollardistro.com.
There goes my apology.
You know, I feel like he would buy it for the band and they'd wear it on stage one night.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking too highly of him.
Tom York seems like a guy that's seriously said the phrase "modern art is rubbish." It just seems like that's something he probably would have said in his life.
Maybe, but I sort of feel like, my guess, because then Jerry Duggan and I, actually, I didn't go with Jerry, but Jerry couldn't go to the show that they did in near San Diego a couple years ago. So Furman and I drove down just to see the show and then drove back that night. And Tom York was he seemed to be having fun on stage.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I saw him at tour at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah. And I think there was like early Tom York. I think there's early Thom Yorke and then post Thom having a kid Thom Yorke.
Yeah, mellowed out.
I think he might have mellowed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like Jonesy.
Who's still got it.
He's still got it!
The last episode of South Park was about Butters going back to Hawaii. And it was basically just making fun of all the people, like all the kind of, you know, white people that move to Hawaii then immediately embrace it like they're locals and they get mad at tourists and stuff right. like that. And it's like, you know, they get their power from drinking chichis. And they have their Mahala Rewards card, which is in Hawaii it's called like Kama'aina rates. It's like if you're a local, you get like discounted rates.
Mahala Rewards.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Everyone was tweeting at me to watch it, and I was hoping for more, making fun of Hawaii, more
more inside baseball for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you should be writing on South Park.
Like Trace spends a lot of time there when they do their writers retreats over there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder how those guys keep it fresh after all these years.
Have you watched 6 Days to Air?
God.
Oh, it's, I definitely want to see Six Days to Air.
So, like, it's kind of like
stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like, what? They just, and then you, the worst part is like seeing all the animators and storyboard guys
sleeping.
Waiting around for them to finish up a script or a draft. Cause like they have to just wait till he's done, then they can start. But they can't leave because they have to be there to start it right away. Oh, God.
And it's like 5 o'clock in the morning and it's got to go, they got to deliver it at like 1 o'clock that afternoon.
Yeah. It's like one of those things where the guy takes the tape to the satellite feed and then it airs.
Yeah.
They're animating it as it's airing at commercial breaks. Yeah. Like, do act two now.
I did when I was doing sketches on Attack of the Show, I wrote and shot a sketch and I finished it 5 minutes before it went on the air.
That happens more than you'd think on our show.
Yeah. It was crazy. It's like, we're like, all right, it's done. And then they fed it into the studio. And then I turned on the live feed of the show and then just saw what I just fucking finished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Live TV.
There's a lot of stuff that happens.
Because then you don't have time to second guess it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, happens in live TV where it's just, is it good? It's done.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of the best feeling when we're...
That's the term you hear. Yeah. It is what it
is. Well, that's why the pilot that I'm doing for Comedy Central, I want that to be a live show.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's
love...
more money, though, right?
Probably.
Because it's like a feed that they have to set up.
I assume that's a good question for the production
King of
team.
Media, Chris Hardwick, you should know these technical specs.
I have production people that worry about these things. I come in and tell everyone where to put the dick jokes.
Yeah.
This needs more vagina.
More vagina. Little less vagina. More vagina. Slide some dick jokes in.
Say quit.
Do your dick vagina matrix formula to make it all balance out. Oh, so going back to the stand-up special and to the video that Furman and I made, we have a new Hard and Firm song coming out in a few weeks and video. And, I will still be happy with what we did if everyone hates it. But you still don't want an avalanche of like, fuck you, you know, just because, you know.
Nobody wants.
Well, then
that.
You just
still
go,
not.
Well, those people don't like fun. Because I know, like, I haven't seen this video, but I know everyone involved. I know what it's going to be, and I know it's going to be fun.
I hope so. I hope it is. Because you just can't, you know, when you make something, you can't always... I feel like stand-up is something you have the most control over as a creator because you can edit on the fly.
Yeah.
And you can tweak it, and you really form a direct relationship with an audience, and you can really make something... fun. That's the result of, you know, these two entities coming together, you and your audience, and so it is very. I see stand-up as very collaborative, and I think some people see it as very much like I write and then they listen.
Yeah.
You know, I see it as very collaborative, and so, but you know, with this kind of stuff, it's just like, well, I don't know. Who knows if it's gonna, you know, if it's gonna fly or if people are gonna, if I'm going to be worse than Hitler.
Well, the beauty of the internet is you'll find out immediately.
The old Hitler quotient. Are you worse than Hitler?
Chris, Beyonce.
I am Beyonce.
Namaste.
Namaste.
You going to leave?
Namaste.
Idiot.
Words.
Words.
Sharing the laughter and love.
What happened?
Going to Hell's Kitchen this weekend.
Saturday, oh, shit. You going to fly all the way to New York?
No, it's in not Hell's Kitchen, the neighborhood.
No.
Hell's Kitchen, the TV show.
Oh, you're going to go inside the TV box?
I'm going to go in the TV and hopefully get some beef Wellington. So that should be fun.
Are you going to meet Gordon?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm just the dinner guest.
Now, I don't want to say who, but my favorite chef is in the video we just shot. That's all I'm going to say. Gordon Ramsay.
Yep.
Is still following you on Twitter?
Yep.
Do you direct message every once in a while?
No.
No?
I don't want to cross a line. That's a line.
Do you want to, for Halloween, make an angry pumpkin with a chef hat and call it Gordon Ramsay?
Yes.
Okay. Jonah's shitting himself right now.
I like it. Digesting that nugget. Do you know what you're going to be for Halloween, Chris?
I'm probably going to have to default to the 10th Doctor.
Yeah?
David Tennant.
The thing you've worn probably
Doctor.
About 10 times?
No, I haven't worn it 10 times yet. I've
At
only
this
worn
point,
it.
It's just his other suit.
Yeah.
I've only worn it. Yeah, I ran into someone at San Diego Comic Con and at some, like, we talked for a while and then it sort of came up and I was like, oh, yeah, and that's why I'm dressed as the 10th Doctor. And they're like, what? I go, this is from Doctor Who. This is a 10th Doctor. This was, and they were like, and there was like a side of like, oh my God, I thought you just were the guy that started wearing weird suits now. Ah. I'm like, no, you know, because it's not so crazy that you would know that it's a cosplay unless you knew.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing about the, it's the only thing about the tenant suit.
What's Chloe going to go as?
10th Doctor.
She was either going to be 50s Rose, which is a costume she already has, but for some reason she is dead set on being Sexy Cosby.
Oh.
She
cosplay.
Let her not... Blackface is not...
No.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, it's going to be black arms, black knee. No, I'm kidding. She's definitely not doing that part of it. It's just basically the sweater and the, you know, like some type of khaki skirt and...
And then just smearing chocolate pudding all over her body.
And a box of Puddin' Pops.
Hey, those aren't easy to find.
They're not?
No, you can't just get those anywhere.
They don't make those anymore?
You gotta eBay that.
Yeah, you cannot find them too easily.
They were so good.
Yes, they're the best pops.
What happened? Are they the best pops?
They're the best pops. Now get out of here,
guys,
old man.
Having so much fun.
What are you
going to
do
today? For Halloween?
Yeah.
I was probably going to go to the movies.
Matt Myra, a bucket of fun.
What do you mean? I just don't.
You going to see a scary movie?
No, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll probably go see something.
No, wait a minute. There's the weird relationship you guys have where Jonah just photographs Matt when he doesn't realize he's being photographed. And then puts up posts like, you better believe Matt Myra knows how to have fun. Those are not fair.
Why?
Because he doesn't know he's being photographed.
But anyway, I'm not, I've never really been into dressing up for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so fun. Do you not like Halloween? Do you not like spooky things?
I don't like, no, I don't mind Halloween. I enjoy spooky
things. You deal with Halloween.
No, I'll tell you what.
It's my favorite holiday.
I love Halloween.
I liked to go to Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween.
Oh my God, Chloe just went to Salem for a couple days and she says it is the fucking coolest, like, huge nerd contingency.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
But it's also like... there's also like a lot of people that we would hang out with there.
Yeah. And I love going into like on haunted tours, haunted.
Yeah, did you go on a haunted hayride?
No,
it's
I haven't.
Pretty
done
good,
that.
It's Griffith Park.
And the you know, I like doing that stuff, but
I went to the one downtown, which was the haunted hayride.
I don't know why that would be downtown.
Downtown? Well, it's not your audience.
Also, it's not downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I think the last time I dressed up for Halloween, I was sixth grade, probably.
Really?
What'd you go as?
Scotty, from Star Trek.
Of course.
Yeah, it was the doughiest of the Trek members.
Oh. Aww, but he was also the smartest.
That's right. I am.
I mean, from a mechanical perspective, Spock was probably the smartest.
Listen,
but
yeah, he wasn't the smartest like emotionally.
Yeah. What are you going to go as this year?
I'm going as Dee and I are going to do a couple's costume. We're going to be Chainsaw and Dave from the movie Summer School. I'll be Chainsaw. She'll be Dave.
That's genius.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, do you think couples ever gone as Siamese twins just so they could just like be fucking each other the whole night and they're just joined at the dick and pussy?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think they have, but that's not why.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm prepared. We're both prepared to explain the outfit.
A lot.
Yeah.
Those are the worst ones. One year I covered myself in shiny strands of like tinsel, but like not silver, like sort of clear but reflective and mm-hmm. and I spent hours just putting it all over an entire sweatsuit. And I thought it would be amazing. And I had to explain my costume to everyone the whole night.
Mm, what was it?
I was Hall's Mentholyptus vapor action.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how they, in the old Life Hall's commercials, they used to like eat the Halls and you'd see all those like those things come up in front of their face. Like,
that's right.
That was the vapor action.
That was the vapor action.
My concept was, my costume was a little high concept. I understand. Actually, really not that high of a concept. A commercial everyone had seen. But
I'm going as the Bing guy this year.
Jonah Bing?
You want to Jonah Bing, my, Jonah Bing. Jonah costume?
Jonah Bing. Anyway, so that's when I kind of stopped doing costumes that I felt like, I'm going to have to, I'm 100 times a night, I'm Hall, I'm this.
Yeah.
And then people just go, oh, and then walk away.
What swanky Hollywood bash are you going to? Heidi Klum and Seal are not having their party this year.
Oh, they're not gonna have the Kiss from the Rose bash? Not this year?
No.
Because Heidi instead set off Federsen.
Because she's fucking the bodyguard.
And this and another. Down this Hollywood.
I'll be in San Francisco on Halloween.
Oh, that'll be so much fun.
Yeah.
That's
I
great.
I will not be in West Hollywood.
Traffic. I will probably be being, I bought a house.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Is the one you wanted?
That is the one that I wanted.
Good thing you bought it.
Yeah.
Good flick, too.
That worked out.
We bought a house.
We bought a zoo.
Nope. Pretty sure it's a house.
No, Chloe and I bought a zoo. I'm telling you, we bought a zoo.
When was the house built?
1923.
Is it a, what style of house is it?
French cottage.
Oh,
here's
okay.
Something I learned.
That's more rustic than you care for normally. Isn't
I
it?
Know. Yeah. I'm mixing it up.
Yeah, I know. You like mid-century modern.
I do like mid-century modern a lot, but I feel like a lot of the mid-century houses that I looked at were sort of
on a shaky hill.
Well, this one's on a hill. They were sort of Hollywooded out in the way where it's like there's sort of a blueprint
and an infinity
of what you imagine. Yeah. What you imagine like Justin Timberlake's pad looks like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like super dark walnut floors or whatever.
Oh,
like,
it sounds awful.
You know what I mean? But just like there's a weird, what used to, I feel like, have a lot of personality now is sort of a cookie cutter style of house.
Yeah. And this has more charm
Finding the right mid-century house, I think, is a real...
trick.
Is a trick.
Yeah. So this is a French cottage style.
French cottage style.
Are you going to try and match the furniture, or are you going to stick with your preferred style of furniture?
I'm going to stick with the style of the house.
I told them to do seasons. Seasonal.
Do you need a... there's a couple places I just found recently. Good stuff.
I got some work.
Did I tell you about that?
You're just going to send it to the place that sells the cardboard.
Well, Brendan...
exactly.
Brendan Small's girlfriend, Courtney, is a...
she's great, by the way.
She's an interior designer.
Oh, okay.
And so she's going to work with me on it.
Have you seen his place?
No.
It's great.
I bet.
It's really awesome.
Sure.
There's a thing. I went to this place. I think it's called 55 Modern. It's in Eagle Rock in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they have just a bunch of cool like vintage furniture. But I was in there and they had this old TV cart.
Oh, yeah.
On wheels on top of it. An old like CTV dial TV. And then below that on the shelf below it... old Atari Master System,
mm-hmm.
and just about 30 games.
Oh.
And you can buy the whole thing as a set.
It sounds like it's going to be fun. Furman did that once a long time ago, bought the Atari 2600. We're like, this is going to be so much fun. And after a while, you're like, is it?
Okay. But it's pretty cool. It's just like a piece. You know,
just a piece to have in your place.
Yeah.
The other part that I have with the kind of Danish modern style of furniture now, this podcast has completely changed.
That's fine.
The style is that there's a mid-century modern furniture place on West Sunset Boulevard, like almost right before you get to downtown,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of in, you know, what's that fucking Silver Lake?
Echo Park.
Thank you. I don't know why I just forgot Echo Park, but I did.
That's fine.
But anyway, and so, you know, it's in a like a modest little place, and you think like, oh, this is going to be inexpensive. But when you see how much mid-century modern, like Danish modern furniture is now,
yeah,
it just feels like this is so trendy. Like there's no reason that this old sofa, even though it's been refurbished, should be like $8,000. Like that's,
yeah, yeah. And the thing is, it's like, you know, the stuff isn't the sturdiest.
It's a nice aesthetic, but it's like, but when you see people kind of gouging with price like that, you're like, ah, of course, because it's trendy now. So yeah, that's why they're asking this much money.
Also, you want to get furniture that you can fucking use. You want to be able to plop down on a couch without being like, well, be careful, the legs are really old, you know.
Because it's like old thrift store.
Sit on the couch.
Yeah,
like old paintings. Like stuff looks like they should be in a thrift store. Should not be like $1,000.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You should just go to the thrift store and then listen to the thrift store song, which I can't fucking get out of my head.
I don't know that one.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, thrift store.
No.
Fucking most genius idea for a song. It's just a song about going to a thrift store, and the entire video was shot with stuff they bought in a thrift store.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know. I feel like a combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell was the best idea for a song.
You mean the Pizza Hut or the Taco Bell?
I'm
or
the combination
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell?
I remember 2010 too, guys. It's
a great time.
Wait, you had a second 2010? That's what that sounded like. I remember 2010 too.
Oh, yeah. The second one, way better than the first. Yeah.
It's different.
Recently I was online and I came across that the fact that the Dr. Pepper website was doing a thing where you could design your own shirt.
What?
Where it's you can click on it and you had a certain amount of characters you can put where it would say, I'm a, and then, you know, usually because their slogan is, I'm a Pepper, and it would have the Dr. Pepper slogan or logo right here. And I realized, oh, you could just put in whatever. It says don't. Yeah, but so I put in, I'm a Mr. Pibb drinker.
And how'd that go?
They sent it to me. I bought it and they sent it to me. And then I showed it to my friend Jason Wolliner. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do one too. And then he does it. And then keep in mind, they sent this to him. They made it and sent it to him. There was no checking. It says, I'm a Holocaust denier. And they fucking sent it to him. I don't know who's checking this shit.
No one. Kiki made one that says, I'm a type 2 diabetic, thanks to.
Did she get it yet?
Yeah, it's here. It's on my couch.
I can take a picture of it, post it.
Kick it.
Yeah, and I thought I was being so clever.
When viral marketing goes awry.
I know, and I thought I was being so clever where I was like, oh, it's another brand. Oh, look at me. I'm really getting it to them. And then Jason Walter, Holocaust denier.
Now, does that mean by that logic, there's supposed to be a soft drink called Dr. Holocaust denier? Because now Pepper is in place.
Yes, exactly.
The interchangeable. I can't get this video to load up, but it's a fun song. What? The hook in it is great.
What?
You can't even see it. Oh, and that's all that loaded up.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to look it up. Well, here's a picture of Jonah wearing his diptych style, I'm a Mr. Pibb drinker. Jason's, I'm a Holocaust denier with the fucking Dr. Pepper logo under it.
Worth the money. So do yourself a favor. Go to drpepper.com.
It's working.
Yeah. Do it.
It's
go to drpepper.com and put
like,
in something.
It's sort of like the free speech argument here where they're like, well, I guess we have to gotta take the good with the bad, I guess.
But I
you just
like
leave out swearing.
They're not printed in America, correct? Like they can't be.
No, I think the company that's printing them is American. Because like I got mine pretty fast.
Wait a minute. Why is his in all caps?
Probably he put it in all caps.
Or did someone who's making the shirt was like, it's about goddamn time.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. My God. That is
Epic Denial, brought to you by Dr. Pepper.
That is sad hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoa, hang in there. It's happening. Tune in next week for the Nerdist podcast all about colds.
All right. This was a fun hostful. I missed you guys. I missed you. It's been too long. Oh, and another thanks again to Jim DeFranco.
Yes.
Who thankfully bootlegged our podcast and saved the day. Oh, that moment where we got backstage.
I threw my computer. Like, I slammed my computer shut and threw it. Like, I wasn't even thinking.
Well, there was some talk. I was like, how come you guys didn't send someone in to monitor that? And it's very tricky because when you're performing in a union house, you're not supposed to be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's filled by, like, those jobs are filled by people who are part of the union and who incidentally all got paid more than we did to do the show. And then just to have that reaction afterwards of like, yeah, it stopped. The recording stopped, but I didn't know who to tell.
I was
like,
fucking frustrated with them before we even started because they were just completely unmotivated to do a sound check to get me the cable that I needed. Just, it was just like a whole...
Like, please. Listen to a couple of Romneys right here hating on the unions.
No, shut the fuck up! Just these specific people. Because the minimum of what they're supposed to do is just help you put your show on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, maybe, you know, okay, if you want to say, well, technically recording the show wasn't in their job description, fine. But just be a bro!
Yeah,
be a bro. And tell someone that Beyonce! They were not Beyonce.
They were not Beyonce.
And remember, tell someone that it stopped. I don't understand that mentality of all, like, I guess it's just because, like, because of the way that we all kind of do our jobs, where if you see something's not working, you go over and you fuck, like,
yeah.
Oh, this needs to be taken over there. I'll fucking do it because we have to all, this is just how we have to do this.
Yeah. That's how normal production works.
And then someone, you know, like, so I can never imagine a situation where something goes wrong and I just go, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know. I won my job.
Of another venue we've performed in where that would have happened. Every other sound guy I've ever dealt with has been super cool.
Well, we were in Times Square.
But it was a fun show, and I'm glad that it wasn't lost. I couldn't. That for me, that went beyond rage threshold because I was just like, if I get mad about this, I'm going to get so mad about it that I'm not going to recover for days.
That was one of the points where I was just like, well, there's literally nothing we can do about it.
And the other,
I was trying to say that. I was telling you guys. I was like, it was a good show. Let's just work with that right now.
The other fun part, but then I feel bad for someone like Guillermo where he gives his time. And then it's like, and then I have to go to him and go, can we podcast you again? You know? And so I think the thing that actually helped make everything okay for me was that moment right after the show, where we realized that it happened. And we knew that there was a line of people outside that we were going to go say hi and take pictures and sign stuff for. And there was a moment where I was like, I don't know how I can go out and pretend like I'm not. It's very hard for me to hide my emotions. And I was like, you know what? It's not their fault. These people paid to see the show. They don't deserve.
These are the people we should be least mad at.
Exactly. Well, not mad at, but just like these are the people that shouldn't have to bear the fallout from what some fucking, you know, irresponsible dipshit did. And so I actually got in a better mood because everyone who stands in line, they're so fucking nice, and they have so many cool gifts to bring. And you know, like,
a guy gave me a poster of me hugging him.
A guy gave me, and I wish to God I fucking had it. It was a signed copy of Starship Titanic by Douglas Adams.
Oh, nice.
Because I mentioned on the podcast once that I loved the video game Starship Titanic.
Yeah.
And it was a signed copy, I think, by Douglas Adams and Terry Jones.
Wow.
And he just gave it to me. He was like, I just want you to have this. And like, there was no way I could be like, goddamn audio. Like, I instantly let it go.
Yeah.
So I thank our audience for that.
That was fun.
And then what else? What do you guys have coming up? Anything?
Just, another more Jonah Radio.
Jonah Radio, Phoebe.
Phoebe. Yeah.
Beef dropping.
I got my episode of Mashup coming up soon.
Mashup was so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where you go, I don't know how this is going to come together. And Mashup was not only a great show, and thanks to Jordan and TJ and everyone who worked on the show, but the opening credit sequence for Mashup is the greatest opening title sequence I've ever seen for anything ever. To the extent that I got excited when commercials were coming back on because I knew that that meant I would get to see an intro or an outro. And just all that like fucking super, was that a red cam? What'd they do?
No, that's a phantom camera.
Oh.
Yeah, we use that, all the like stuff breaking in a... All I Want for Christmas Is to Rock.
Oh, it was the
that was all done with the phantom camera.
God damn.
Like all that, like just like super slow. Every time you see that super slow mo stuff online, you know, like the balloons breaking on someone's head or all that's a phantom camera. And you need the fucking light of 10 suns to make that stuff because it's going so fast that you need to be insanely bright for it to work.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Much easier to shoot on Tatooine.
Yeah, there's two of them.
And with actual phantoms.
Oh, click.
I don't understand.
Well, I just feel like there'd be some sort of a phantom race.
Maybe a menace.
Maybe a mantis of some sort. A menace of some sort. Phantom Dennis the Menace.
I thought you were Phantom Dentist.
Phantom Dentist.
All right, that runs. We're good.
No, we're going to let's keep tooling this until it works. Phantom Dennis, 1-800-Phantom Dennis.
Matt had the last one. He was like, all right, we're good. We're good.
And then he spiked the ball.
He said Phantom Dentist.
Yeah, then didn't he
say now, that? I'm not a sports person, but I know you're not supposed to spike the ball before the touchdown, Matt.
No, he just repeated what you said. You're like, all right, we're good.
Phantom Dennis. Phantom.
No, he said Phantom Dennis the Menace, didn't he?
No, he said that before you said Phantom Dentist.
My line was so good, I just didn't think anyone else
did. Are you performing anywhere? Are you performing?
So, I mean, Sunday will be... I did Douglas movies last night. Sunday will be at
did you win?
Meltdown. I did not win. I should have. I was the only one that guessed anything right, but Duncan Trussell won.
Oh.
Hope I didn't spoil that.
Yeah.
It'll be out by the time this is up.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
I was on an episode of WTF.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How'd it go?
It was good. I recorded it when we were shooting Mashup, and it came out like a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a Doug Benson interruption that is for sale in the iTunes store that I co-interrupted with Doug. Check that out. That was a lot of fun.
What was the movie?
It wasn't a movie. It was the interruption show.
Oh, the interruption show. Yeah.
So a couple Ari Shaffir, Ben Schwartz, Brody Stevens. Oh, you get to hear me, Doug, and Brody doing our Brody impressions.
Yeah.
At this point, if Brody does it, people are like, no, you got to go up more on that. Like they're telling Brody how to do Brody. Brody Stevens!
Positive energy!
Yeah, I lived there. I know how it works.
818 till I die.
I can throw a ball 86 miles per hour down the middle.
Sure, I was molested. I was molested when I was younger. They caught the guy, though. Supposed to get 5 years. He got 10 years. Because I was molested in a construction zone.
I'm lonely.
My favorite Brody Stevens
joke. I go
Stevens
to the batting
joke.
Cages to play catch.
Two of my favorite Brody Stevens jokes. All right. Well, I guess enjoy your burrito, everyone.
You are out of practice.
Guess.
Out of practice.
Enjoy. Fuck. Enjoy Burr. God damn it. Enjoy Bill Burr. Ito.
Yeah, please.
Wow!
Enjoy the dancing Itos.
Oh, let's get them back.
They were only on twice.
Mercer. Dancing Itos. All right.
Take care of yourself, Jonah. Where are you going? He's got things to do.
Missed a business call.
Oh, dear.
A business call.
Business.
I am now turning off the recording device. So that regular conversation can commence. And here we go. So, Jonah, what do you think about the...
The blacks?
Jesus Christ!
You said you weren't recording. You said you weren't.
I thought you saw that I clearly wasn't.
Chris, this is all going to be so good.
I can't cut this out. I lost that software.
That software.
Well, I think if you want...
Get some hardware then, Chris.
If you want better blacks, get a plasma.
And deeper... Yes, versus
sometimes in bright
LCD.
Rooms they don't do as well, but, plasma, dim the lights. Have a good time with it. Color saturation is excellent, except in the south.
Jesus Christ! I'm a pepper.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.